May we pray? Shall we pray, please? Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you this morning for your grace and mercy. And Lord, we come before you this morning, not because of any of our merits, but we come under the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, before we do anything, we give you all the honor, praise, and glory. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to see life today. And we thank you for this unique opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, to praise you. It's always a joy to come in the house of the Lord to give thanks to the maker of heavens and earth. So dear precious Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, I may help each one of us this morning. And Father, help me, Lord, to speak to your children that you die for. Lord, Father, when we stand here, Lord, we are trying, Father, to be ambassadors. And Lord, as your ambassador, we shouldn't be saying anything, Lord, that you would not approve. And Father, as a human being, we are full of mistakes, born of flesh. Father, we are weak. So Father, this morning I commit my spirit, my mind, and my soul, everything to your hands. That may you control me, guide me, and let me speak your words, Father. Lord, may you open the heart of your children, Father. Oh Lord, to get the word, and Lord, let's all together, Father, praise and worship you and rejoice in the Lord. We pray and ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So let me give my title, because I know many times when you get to speak, you forget to give the title. Before I say anything, the title is The Lord's Prayer, Part 1. And the inspiration is connecting to God and establishing a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I wanted to speak on. Connecting to God and establishing a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, good morning. And now I've given my title. I fulfill one of the protocols. So it's certainly a great privilege to stand before you. I've always said when you stand before God's children, it's one of the unique opportunities, because you are facing royal people. If I have to go see the Queen of England, you say, wow, that's like a big audience. But you are children of the King of Kings. You are the children of a king who is above the queen. So you see, when standing before you, because it's like a great proverb, the Bible says, you will judge the earth. It may not appear that we are that way, right? But they say, when the glorified Christ of all age shall appear, we shall be like him. So this morning, as I said, I'll be speaking on the Lord's Prayer. And but before I go any further, I will just give you a little background, a little encouragement. So, you know, this message that I'll be going through, it took me a long time, but I'll get there. But I just wanted to encourage everyone to stay on the blood trail of Jesus Christ. You see, the devil used a trick once and it worked, and the devil had used that trick the same time from the beginning of time. Telling you God doesn't exist doesn't work for the devil, because the devil knows you've seen the hands of God in your life. The devil has seen how he healed you, how God healed you, how God saved you from where you were, right? So the devil, if he come and tell you God doesn't exist, that's too much for him. But one thing he can do that worked for him, and that happened in the garden, is taking almost the truth, getting so close, but tweaking it. You see, the devil was in heaven with all the angels, and he knew that day and night, all the angels, the only one thing they do, Brother said, don't get tired, they're praising God. Glory, 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 glory to the Lamb that was slain. Glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy. They're singing that all. But you see, we bypass. And what the devil wants to do is that the devil knows that that's what God was made for. Abraham said, to be a God, you have to be a sort of worship. So the only thing the devil wants to do is to get you to do something that will not worship God. And all what it takes is to just twist something that is the truth. Like he went to Adam and Eve, he just changed one word. But he brought the entire truth, 99%. But all what he did, he changed 1% and that whole thing. And now, the Bible teaches that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities. And what should we do? We should put on the whole armor of God. All right? Like in Matthew 26:41, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, you're on a trail. That trail is a trail that God has already gone through. That's a blood trail. The devil can't get on that blood trail. But he's trying to go along the broad trail to pull you off. And the purpose, the goal of any minister, anybody who comes stand behind here, is to do whatever they can. Nothing should be pointing to them or anything else but to keep you on that trail and point you to the cross. If you remember when Brother Brown had the vision of the bride, the first bride came, and then he saw all the filth, and then God showed him the bride, the last age bride. But it's all of a sudden, some begin to take their eyes off of where he was standing, begin to take their eyes off of the message. And Abraham begin to scream, what did he scream? Stay in line, stay in line. Yeah. And he said, when that happened, he got out of the vision, and when he got out of the vision, he heard himself screaming, stay in line, stay in line, stay in line. So every message that you preach is to keep you to stay in line. Amen? Sometimes you may think it's repetitive, but you see the devil never gets tired. He used the same trick, same strategy, and all what he wants gets you off of the blood trail. So when we come here, the word, we want to keep you on that trail. Keep walking. Keep walking. We bring the Bible. We bring the brand message. Anything, keep walking on that trail. Don't move. Because you remember the song that we sing, I'm going to live under the blood. Yeah. I'm going to walk under the blood. I'm going to stay under the blood. What? And what do we say? And the devil can do me no harm. Amen. The devil can do a harm only when you get off of that blood trail. Amen? Amen? So this morning, and you remember Jesus also said the parable of the unjust judge. You may say, but what does this have to do with your message? I always like, before I start to give audience, because many times gospel, you've heard it one way or the other. There's nothing new anybody can bring here. There's nothing new I can bring. It's just bringing a variation bringing one from one point. And sometimes when someone says, oh, I heard that. And when you hear that, the devil says, yeah, we heard it. You see, the devil's spirit, he won't let you. Oh, you heard it, and you closed up. Right? So I always like to help people to open up this new perspective. It's a new vision, and it's a new fight. The fight is the same every day, so I have to keep going. And you remember the Jesus gave us the parable on Luke 18. Jesus gave us the parable of the unjust judge. And he said, yet because this widow troubled me, if you can read the widow keep coming back, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And then look what Jesus said at the end. Look how he switched. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So it's that continual fight, keeping that faith, keeping that line. All right, so now let me get into my scripture. So shall we rise, please? Matthew 6, 7. Starting from 7. And if you have time, we can read what is above. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, and I want to really you pay attention to that word Father, because that's what I'm going to be speaking on today. But your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. So quickly, like I said, what I'm calling this is part one. But how did I get here? A couple of years ago, like back in I think 2010 or 2011, I decided I want to learn Hebrew, and I want to learn, read and write. And first, I was just doing it for pleasure. But then when I begin to read the Bible, the Old Testament, when I begin to realize the difference between what the English and the Hebrew, now, it doesn't mean what the English is saying is wrong. But what the English is saying, it could be 1 foot deep, but the Hebrew is telling this 1,000 feet deep. You can just be going, 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 and going. All right? And then, as I begin to read the Hebrew Bible, you see, Brother Branham will tell you when you read the Bible and you don't see Christ in any verse, you missed it. But you see, when you read the English or French, maybe you may not see that. And then you question. But you see, him, Brother Branham, didn't speak Hebrew or that, but the mind of the author was in him. Because he was the prophet that God sent to get the bride, all right, to preach a message, to go out, because God told him, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. Yeah. So he doesn't even need to know the Hebrew, because the mind of whoever wrote this is in here. You can say things. But we, with our finite mind, we don't understand it. And that's why there's so many questioning. And people doubt. Okay? So as I begin to read and I begin to see, but then the only Bible that you have written in Hebrew was the Old Testament that they call the Tanakh. Okay, the Tanakh is the Old Testament, is written in Hebrew. And meantime, when I'm reading, I'm like, wow. You can tell one, you go, you read just maybe one verse, and you are so much into like, you feel like, oh, God, I love you so much. And so I told myself, you know, Jesus, in 2014, I was telling my Jesus didn't speak in Greek. We have the New Testament in Greek. But Jesus didn't speak Greek. When he went to the Capernaum, where we went, they gave him a scroll, and he read the book of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah, we know, is in Hebrew. And he spoke. Okay, so there are dialect, like here, you never know, we have the same English in America. We have dialect, like in the South, say y'all, and in the North, in New York, Brooklyn accent, different, right? But it's the same English, right? So Hebrew also have dialects. So like in the Galilee region and all that, they have the dialect. You remember when the people came and say, isn't this a Galilean? Like even on the day of Pentecost, they say, what do I mean? Aren't these people speaking Galilean? But you guys say, why don't you speak Hebrew? But it's just, because that part, you know, is Aramaic, Hebrew is like, for instance, in Arabic, in Hebrew, you say ben for son. But in Aramaic, you say bar. So last while, like, for instance, if you read the Bible, Jesus said, and thou art Simon bar Jonas. But Hebrew, I say ben Jonas. Bar Jonas means son of Jonas. Bar is. So I was telling myself, if I could get a Hebrew New Testament to see really what word Jesus used, I can see how deep were those words. And in 2014, by God's grace, I was able to get a Hebrew New Testament from Jerusalem. And one day, sitting praying, I began to read the Lord's Prayer. And I just broke in tears. The word that the Lord was using, you see that the Lord's Prayer that we read is this, and Jesus is talking about eternity. Why? Remember, the Lord's Prayer, when God, Almighty God, Elohim, who created heaven and earth, when he came in flesh, that's the only prayer he taught mankind. He prayed many prayers himself when he's praying. But he said, this you shall pray, right? And he taught them. And before he went, he told them, you don't use all those vain words and all that. Before your father, he gave them the background. Before you ask anything, your father, and then pray this way. There are only 5 verses in the Lord's Prayer from 9 to 13. But when I begin, so on June 8th, I was inspired. God put on my heart to preach the Lord's Prayer. And I thought I'll go there in the service. The service I have about an hour and a half. That was in Pennsylvania where we used to go. I have about an hour and a half. And I'll go there and I'll pray through the whole prayer and read, and that was it. Little did I know that I was getting into something I won't get out if I don't cut it short. It took us 21 services, shortened version, and over a year and a half to just go through those 5 verses. And we have to cut it short. The first word, our father, it took me about 5 services, and I have to get off because there's no way. I could have stayed on our father alone for the entire year. Because the word, when Jesus said our father, it ran from Genesis 1 to Revelation 17. Okay? Obviously, in English or French, we have it our father. The French say notre père. Okay? And I think in Spanish they say padre or whatever. All right? But in Hebrew, it says avinu. It's one word. Avinu, our father. But when we take that word and begin to run into the Bible, and that's why Brother Brown will say many times when preaching about adoption, he said you run it from Genesis, you find it in Revelation, and you keep coming back. That's only one word, our Father. 5 services, each one every half 1 hour, half 2 hours, and it runs. And then when you take that, it runs to Brother Brown message, the entire Brother Brown message all through. Because why? Brother Brown came for what? To reveal that Father. Amen. Brother Brown said, I may not know how to read. I may not know anything, but I know that Father. Amen. And that's why God sent him, right, to display the characteristic of the Father. Amen. So you see that word Father, and if you see Jesus, his preferred word begins to say, oh, Father, I glorify your name. Father, I thank you for that word. Never take it light. But you see, the Lord's Prayer today has become like a chant. On the radio, there is some ceremony. Everybody go, our Father, who art in heaven, and they'll begin to say those things. It looks like, and that's what the devil wants. Make it of no effect to the people. Amen? I remember I would get a cold letter. Brother Brown one time went to pray for a lady, and God gave an instruction to read the Lord's Prayer. He said, when I get to say, I say this, you do that. And a person get healed. All right? So the Lord's Prayer, like I said, it takes long. And by God's grace, if God permit, I'll start now. And each time I'm given opportunity, I will be, and I don't know how long it's going to take me. Amen? So, And I'll take my time. All right? Let's see here. All right, so I wanted to see what has been said about the Lord's Prayer. So obviously the first place to go was to see what Brother Branham said. So let me read something to you here, what Brother Branham said about the Lord's Prayer. In the Church Choosing Law for Grace, 61, March 16, Brother Branham said, there have been for 2,000 years trying to add one word to the Lord's Prayer to make it better, or take one word away to make it better. And you can do it, because when he speaks, it's perfect. Amen. Amen? And if you add anything more to perfection, you are out of order. God does anything, it's perfect. Now, you see, this is another thing again. You hear Brother Brown always say that the Bible is an Eastern book. Obviously, like I said, if you're reading English or French or Spanish, you won't really see many of those things. Now, the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, there's no vowels. It's all consonant. And there's no punctuation. And if you remember, God keeps saying, if you take one word or add one word. Now, you may say, well, we have English where I can change one word. If I say, I am going to, I can say, I will go. May it's the same sense, right? But no. If you take the Hebrew Bible, like I told you, it's all consonant. If you read it, you see consonant, consonant, consonant. And in there, people have found mathematicians, they run code, they found many things, code, different things, word, codes. But if you remove just one consonant, the whole Bible falls out of the dominant, it means nothing. The Bible has no sense, absolutely nothing. And that's why Jesus said, if you add one word, I'll take one. And you see how the prophet was very insisting on that? Some say, but what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. As long as I'm Christian, I believe the Lord, I'm serving him. But he said, if you remove one word or add one, you see all the things that will happen to you. That's what it is. If you remove, just take one, and the Bible falls like a domino and have no sense. Now, look at now what we're trying to do with the Bible now. Change this one, change that one, change its meaning. You see where we are. So the Lord's Prayer starts, like I said, with one word, which obviously when we get it in English or Greek, it comes to two. Our Father. Back in Hebrew is Avinu, our Father. All right, so before anyone can pray the Lord's Prayer in truth and spirit, there's one question you must answer. And that question is a question of paternity. You must settle that question before you can pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, after reading Brother Branham, I told myself, let me go and see what other great evangelists throughout the ages have said. So, you've heard about, what's his name, Spurgeon, Finney. So here, I think Spurgeon, on September 1858, he preached this message about the Lord's Prayer. And just an excerpt. He said, why then should ye mock God by saying, our Father which is in heaven? For how can he be your Father? Okay? Have ye two fathers? And if he be a father, where is his honor? Where is his love? You neither honor nor love him, and yet you presumptuously and blasphemously approach him and say, our Father. All right? Spurgeon. Now, Calvin, it's also a great evangelist of the 16th century. He said, our Father who art in heaven, Whenever we engage in prayer, there are two things to be considered. Both that we may have access to God, a key, and that we may rely on him with full and unshaken confidence. You see, when Jesus comes, say, Father, you see that confidence is a key, right? All right, so, like I said, the first question before you begin to pray the Lord's Prayer, you got to settle the paternity question. And what is that question? Am I really his son? That's a question that you are the only one who can answer that. The minister can answer that for you. Nobody, your father can answer, your mother can answer. Because Brother Bram told us, God does not have grandchildren. Amen? Amen? Your wife cannot answer that for you. Your husband cannot answer that for you. You have to yourself, am my God's son? Amen? Is God my father? Like Spurgeon was saying here, is he your father? Is God my father? Amen? Am I his true child? And later on, you say, why do I ask that question? Amen? Otherwise, have I established a connection, vertical connection? You see, one thing with Christians, and I say that's where the devil gets us a lot, when we become Christian, we are very happy. Because why? God took us from a state of impurity and bring us to light. And when you look, you say, I don't deserve it. And the joy is so much. But it's a process that just started. But quickly, like I said, the enemy, the only thing he wants to do is get you off of that trail. Remember, in Brother Branham's vision, it was a bride, the end time bride that came, but what happened? They begin to go out of step. And Brother Branham began to scream, stay in line, stay in line. And he came back and found himself. So Christians, like we come, God took us from a state of impurity and brought us to light, to great joy. We are so happy. But this is a process that started. But before you know, the first thing that a Christian begins to establish is to establish a horizontal fellowship. It's good to establish that. I'm not saying no. But it's a priority. I'm talking about priority. You get to establish horizontal fellowship. Oh, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Everything is a... But God, what God wants first is to establish the vertical fellowship. But while doing this horizontal fellowship, many times is overshadowed with a vertical fellowship. And just because you feel you are in the church, you're happy, you rejoice, you have good time with everybody, you have a good time fellowshipping, not until you meet a brother. They can quote you everything, they can quote the Bible, but that's a horizontal fellowship. But deep inside, have you settled that paternal question, that he is my father? Now, what is paternity? So, I won't run, like I said, I won't take my time. Wherever I stop, and later I'll pick it up. All right, what is paternity? They say paternity is that, especially in legal context, the state of being someone's father. And they say they use a blood test they use to determine paternity. And we know what is the blood today. I'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. We know what is that blood test. We know what is the blood, bro. Bronto, what is the blood today is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen? Now, another definition I get, paternity is the legal establishment of the identity of a child's father. Now you say, well, Brother Marcel, why do you have to say that? I'm a Christian. I go to church. I praise God. I love God. Why do you think that I'm not God's father? God is not my father. All right, let me see something here. Now, Matthew 7, 22, Matthew 7, 22. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. As Christian, when you read things like that, you should ask yourself fundamental questions. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You see, again, that Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done many wonderful work? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That paternity question will never settle. I don't know you. So imagine that I will give this example. Imagine that I walk into the mall and a child runs to me and says, Father, Father. My wife will look at me and say, what? I took my wife to Africa in 2004. Imagine while we're visiting, a child wants to say, Father, I say, wait a minute. Did you have this before you came? See what I'm saying? No one has a right to call me a father, only my children. Or if by a legal process I have adopted that child. And if you know God sent Brother Branham, because his own children, he put them away. But God sent Brother Branham to preach a message of what adoption, to adopt us, to do the legal work, to prepare, to adopt us. And that gave us, by that gave us a right to the throne to say, Father. Without that, we have no right to call him Father. And if you remember, Brother Branham said, when this adoption process is over and the gospel return to the Jew is over, you can't call him Father anymore. Amen? Amen. So, the question of paternity, fatherhood must be established and clear. There should not be any doubt about that. So, when you get down to pray, look, Jesus said, before you ask, he knows. Look, if your child comes to you, say, Father, you see how that breaks your heart? Something mellows you. It's like you're ready to fulfill the need of that child. Maybe that child is hungry. He wants something. Obviously, some child also use that to, you know, manipulate a little bit, right? But let's talk about real things here. When that child calls the Father, either you are disposed to kind of fulfill what that child needs. And Jesus said, you, if ye evil, you know how to do that to your children. When I ask you, brethren, give them snake, what about your Father in heaven? And he said, before you open your mouth, look, because before the foundation of the world, and I'll get that later in Lost Prayer as you go, I'm getting ahead of myself. God wrote your book. He said before you were born, he has a plan for you. Amen. He knows what you need. But before you begin, you come when you the minute you say Father, you begin to cry. You don't even say, well, he knows all. He knows it, what you need. It's like saying, son, daughter, it will be all right. Amen. I know it all. But first, like I said, first, you may have that right. Imagine I'm walking in the mall, Potomac Mills Mall, and Chaco, Father, Father, can you buy me this? I said, what? I can give something, okay? Or give a donation or whatever. But that child have no right on me to say, buy me this, buy me this, buy me this. Can you buy it? No. Amen? Amen? Only your son have that right. Or if there's a paternity relationship, be established by some legal process of adoption or whatever. Amen? Amen? So when you kneel down, have disease, sick, you lost your child,
husband, wife, something, problem you have in your life, when that relationship is established, that we can come to him and say, Father. Hallelujah. He knows the rest. Amen. Son, daughter, it's all right. Amen. When I died on the cross, when I say it's finished, and when you call on me, Father, your problem, it's finished. Amen. Amen? So that's the reason why it's so important that we establish that paternity. Because, you see, Jesus said, it's not everyone that tells me, Lord, Lord. So the question that you can ask yourself, could I be in a position I'm saying, Father, Father, is not listening to me? It's possible. Amen? You see, when Jesus said, who do men say I am? God gave revelation to Peter. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal to you. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Amen? But a couple of days later, here was Peter denying. But Jesus told him, the devil has reached to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. But at that time, even though Peter and other apostles, they were following Christ, the true relationship, paternity was not established. It was only established at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. That's where they have boldness. That's where they have access. That's how they have the key. And they have access to the kingdom. Amen? Now, how do we establish that paternity? I've already said it, if you read in John 3. Here comes Nicodemus. He came. First of all, you see what he began to say? Jesus, thy teaching comes from God because nobody can do those things. Because he went straight to the verse, hallowed be thy name. But he bypassed first the first father. He was hallowing the name of Christ. But Christ stopped him. If you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Otherwise, Nicodemus was trying to say, hallowed be thy name, without first settling the question of paternity. Jesus, otherwise Jesus saying, I'm not yet your father. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. As you have said, wait a minute, this is a gentleman comes to you, give you all this title, praise, nobody can come from heaven. I mean, all your teaching come from heaven. Nobody can do this thing unless it comes from heaven. You say, well, Jesus could be a gentleman. Say, oh, thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your feedback. That was great. He didn't say that. He immediately said, you must be born again. That means I don't know you yet. You can't even hallow my name yet. Amen. Amen? All right, quickly, let me read something for you. Amen. We do this one next time. But I'll read here. Brother Bram said, if you haven't got teeth, all right, and you use false teeth, now that's all right. It's substituting for the teeth that you once had. But actually, those teeth are not connected with you. Amen? It's not part of you. If you had an arm amputated and you put a false arm on, well, that arm is actually not connected with you. It just stuck on you. See? It's not connected with you. And when we take our pledge to Christ, if we don't become part of him, like a woman ought to become part of a man and a man part of the woman, then we are artificial Christians. So that means if we are artificial Christians, we can't even pray the Lord's Prayer. Because he said, before you open your mouth, I heard it. But for you to even pray that prayer, the key is get on him. Father, is he your father? Amen? We are not. Really, you are really not married to that woman. You might be loyal. You see, Brother Abraham, when you read Brother Abraham said many deep things that as a Christian, you should ask yourself questions. When you read those, stop. Brother Abraham said, you are not lost. Stop. What does that mean? But like I said, when we become to the message, we see all the goodness, things that happen to us. We read the message, we are, and stuff like that. But Abraham, what he's trying to do, remember, one goal of Brother Branham was to come here with a message that will establish that vertical relationship. That's what Brother Branham said. I don't care what, you hear Brother Branham keep saying, I don't care what church you go to. I don't care if you're Baptist, Pentecostal. But that relationship, the horizontal is going to this church, go to that church, go to this one. Fellowship here, but Jebus, I don't care. But one thing, God said, for only one thing, establish that one. And when this is established, this one comes. Amen? You might be, Brother, you might be loyal. If you don't love your husband and him 60 or 70 years old, and you don't love him as good as you did at the beginning, then you are really just raising his children. That's the way the churches are too many today. We are just taking the name of the Christian church, pretending to be the bride, when it's artificially, we are not connected with Christ in any way. Now, remember, this message, forget about the outside, and remember that it is to prepare a bride. So when you come in, you read those things. Don't say, oh, that's a supply to the dream. No, it's applying to us. Amen? Amen? All right, we are like an artificial tooth, artificial arm, artificial eye. See, it's something that's artificial. If we are just putting it on, well, you can put on Christianity. You got to be connected with it. And then a church that's just artificial, called the Church of Christ, well, them children are not in there. And that's why Christ said, I don't know you. Okay, that's born of the same organization. They are not Christ's children. They are denominational children and not children of Christ. I will read the rest of the quote later. Very powerful quote. So today, as we're ending this service, remember, like I said, the Lord's Prayer, that's the only prayer that God, Elohim, the maker of heaven and earth, that the Jews call Adon Olam, master of the universe. That's the only prayer he taught us. If God taught us prayer, it cannot just be a simple prayer as we think. It's a prayer that applies to every one of us from cradle to grave. From the time you leave, you're born, to the time that you see yourself in that prayer. Amen? From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, it covers that. But before you can begin to pray that prayer, you must ask yourself, have I settled the paternity question? Amen? Have I gone through that process? The Holy Spirit, have I been born again? Have I received the Holy Ghost? Is it possible that when I'm saying, Father, Father, he's not hearing me because I haven't established that paternity yet? You see, when Peter came after Christ, I'll go everywhere and say, get behind me, Satan. Because until then, Peter hasn't even established paternity yet. But on the day of Pentecost, when that came, now remember, Jesus said that your name is Peter. But now look, the rest is what thou art Peter and so forth, but he begins to the future. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I will. That means it was not then. But when that paternity question is established, that you have that key, that you can access, have that access, that your name on the check is just as good as my name, then I give you the keys. Shalom, let us raise our, let's get up. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy today. And Lord, I thank you for helping me bring this message. And I pray that, Lord, this few words I said, may you take it and place it in the hearts of your children, Father, that may they see the importance, O God, of receiving the Holy Ghost. May they see the importance of establishing that paternity, that fatherhood relationship with you. That's the most important, as your prophet told us. And Father, I pray, may you bless this oncoming service. May you bless and anoint Brother Tim. And Father God, I pray that may you bless Brother Mike Walls in North Carolina. Be with him, anoint him, Father, to preach to your children over there. And bless his family and give them travel mercies, Father. We commit all to your hands in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be dismissed.